Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Shalom, shalom, my sisters. Bless you. Greetings. Hallelujah. In the precious name of our Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. I love you all. I bless you. I thank you for your time. Special, special thank you and shout out to those who are laboring and working there in Kentucky East. Goshen, bless you. All the communities that are busy doing Yah's labor. Hallelujah. Never be too busy to pray. I greet you all. I thank you all for tuning in. Hallelujah. Double honor to heads, leaders, and assemblies. Blessings to their families, the wombs, and the wives, as well as our mothers, our aged women. Thank you for your time tonight. Mother Jennifer, you're live on another Sister to Sister. Thanks for filling in last week. You and Elder did a great job. I enjoyed every word. Bless you. Let's get a sound check from you.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, bless you. And it's always an honor to be able to serve on the show. So thank you for having me on. But it is even more of an honor to have you here. So I'm so happy to have you back. So happy to be your co-host tonight. I pray everyone can hear me. I can hear you very well. I see tens in the chat room, so I think we're good to move on.
Hallelujah. Hey, before we give acknowledgments or any announcements, were you able to check out the massive influx of emails that we got?
Yes, Sister Ashley, I did check those out.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Me and Mother Jennifer haven't spoken at all today, so as usual, she has no idea what she's going to say. And if you don't mind being ready to read some of them, is that okay with you? I don't know if you printed any or if you just had it pulled up. Will you be able?
Perfectly fine. I printed them all out, so I'm ready.
Oh, great. Hallelujah. And I think we had one or two just within the last few moments, so maybe you can check later on, but I really would and will save a lot of time for us to read all of them. They're very short, and they're all with a purpose. Greetings, beloved family. Hallelujah. I only know you because of the blood of my Messiah. I acknowledge his blood, the meaning and the purpose of it, his covenant. Hallelujah. He's kept me. And I will endure to the end. Hallelujah. Very, very thankful for his work and how he does all things well. As Mother Carol's always said, he is very patient. He is very, very patient. He's very purposeful. Hallelujah. I am thankful for the hearing ear and the eye that sees that I have been given. I have not taken upon my own self. I'm thankful for the spirit of truth that purifies my soul. I'm thankful for being born again and being washed by the water and by the word. I'm thankful for the fire that's shut up in my bones that is difficult to contain. I'm thankful for women who love me and women who listen, who desire to grow and follow their husbands and to really march with perfection. We are very, very small in number. This show is for a very, very small amount of ears. So I glorify the Father for his dynamics and everything he's doing on and on and on. I could give him praise. I could do show and show and show after, you know, glorifying him and speaking all the good things that he's doing in so many of you. But his spirit always leads us to, can I say, admonish or speak holy conversation that will edify the spirit and allow you to see the workings of the enemy in your life so that you may repent and become clean. So we have a great show for you tonight. And for every show that I've ever been able to do, for every breath I've ever been able to take, I'm very, very thankful. The dead can't praise Yah. Hallelujah. So I acknowledge my husband, my master, according to the flesh. He has been a rock to me, a very sound and stable man who is full of the word, the law, answers in his speech, the way he talks, the way he doesn't talk, what he says and what he doesn't say. I'm very thankful for him to be a father of his children, and he's a great father. He's a great father. I'm doing a great job, and I'm thankful. I'm covered, I'm protected, I'm safe, all those great things. I'm very thankful for the authorities in my life. And authority is a word that we will talk about tonight. Authority in Christ is a very, very different dynamic than the authority that might pull you over when you speed, or the word authority that you may not be familiar with. We hope to bring some understanding tonight in our conversation. So I have a great man of Yah in front of me who mentored me and has spent a lot of time and a lot of money on my home, this community, pouring into me in early years individually, in the latter years with great distance between us, with much honor and respect to his house, to the seed of his house, to the fruit of his loins, to his women. I am very, very thankful to follow him. I can go on and on. I won't. But bless you, Mom Muncie, Mom Jaja, Mom Karen, hallelujah, Mom JC, everyone who has given up their entire life and everything they've known and fallen from their lofty place to sit in the ashes Hallelujah. To mourn, to lament, to cry out, to pray, to learn, and to humble themselves. Welcome again to Sister to Sister. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. I want to, acknowledge my Heavenly Father for continuing to keep us, for continuing to minister to the hearts of the daughters of Zion. I'm so thankful for his love in a world that sees love as rejection. It's an honor to be able to learn the many aspects, the many faces of his loving kindness, his loving commitment, his patience, his love towards his daughters of Zion, and really showing us our value, the value that we have in him, showing us that our value does not lie in our flesh at all, but it lies in him. So I'm thankful to know that, thankful to have an identity, the identity that he has given me, knowing that I belong to him, that I am his possession. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for my being my covering and being just such a stability in a world that is shaken, just truly shaken. We are living, we're watching everything around us be shaken and be moved. And it really is an honor for me to be able to look at my head and see his stability in the Most High Yah. I'm thankful for his labor, his love for Israel, the weight that he carries on his shoulders. I'm thankful for the love that he has toward the man of Yah. I'm thankful for his commitment and his obedience to the man of Yah and the authority that he walks in every single day and the authority that comes through his submission. I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for his strength in Israel, for submitting and committing to the Father 3 decades ago, just really following the voice of Yah. And I see where we are today because of that, because of his commitment to the Most High. And now when you look around, there's so many lands being built up, so many women that are coming out of her, so many women who used to be on jobs, used to be in the world, and are now at home learning how to be the women that they were created to be. And none of that would happen without a Jeremiah 3:15 pastor. So blessings to you, Pastor Dow. Blessings to your entire family, the examples that you all are, and we love you dearly. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, do you have any announcements?
I cannot think of any announcements, Sister Ashley. It's kind of odd, but I have none.
I am just as empty. There's many things we could talk about as far as productive and laborious hands that are successful and, you know, in their businesses within Israel, to all the community dialogue that we could conversate about. But as far as an announcement or anything going forward, there's nothing at this time. If there's any events or any ministry work going forward in any of your locations, we usually try to announce it at this on this show. And because we are unaware of the next step, our shepherd or his crew, the disciples of the Most High Yah in 2021, we don't know where they're going or what they're doing. Hallelujah. So when we know, we'll let you know. Hey, so I got an awesome call lined up. I might end the show with her, though, so I might save that. I don't really have a lot of small talk. I wanted to kick it off. If that's okay, Mother Jennifer, just to share some of my meditations and thoughts throughout the week, and then I'll just throw some questions at you, and let's just build our dialogue. You ready?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready.
Hallelujah. I often think that the people around me, I've been around for so many years, you know, I'm sure some of you share that testimony when you come even for the first time. coming to the communities or coming to Straight Way Home Base in Tennessee, you meet the saints or you meet pastors, you feel like you've known them for years. You know, some of you maybe listened for years before you came. So it's the thing or the people that you've been looking for so long that really brings nourishment to your spirit. And so for me, I'm going to try to speak very well-rounded tonight from the person who's very new, who might come across that video the first time, or to those who might have even been here longer than me who enjoy the show. I definitely marvel at the famine that we are a part of. Amos 8, the day will come that the Most High will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of the hearing of the word of the Most High. He said he will send it. So that's a scary concept, because the hearing is allowed or not by our Creator. Here we are operating in one mind. That is a new term to a lot of individuals who have always selected what they want to do at any given time, from job, occupation, to who they may or may not want to talk on the phone to, who they may want to watch on the screen, to every relationship you've ever built, you've chose those relationships. And here, Paul even said, he hopes that we would have one mind and one mouth to glorify the Most High, that we would be perfect and that we would be of one mind, that we would live in peace, and that the Most High of Yah would be with us, and that our conversation would be the gospel of the Most High, and that we would have one mind striving together for the faith of that gospel. And so there is a lot of manifested antichrist mindsets, rebellious mindsets, or just confused mindsets that have no clue what that one mind, where to even start. And we are to fulfill joy, be like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, have compassion for one another, love the brothers, be pitiful, be courteous. We're all to do those things. There are things that we all share, that we will be purified in our soul, obeying the truth through the Spirit, and that we would love one another with a pure heart. How do we do it? How do we do all that? How? What is this one mind? How do we get there? Jesus, by the word of the Most High, which lives and abides forever. By the word of the Most High, which lives and abides forever. It's not just the record. When I say the record, I'm meaning the Bible, 66 chapters, or hey, maybe you got the Apocrypha, throw all those books in there, however many books that you call the record. That's not all. That's not it. If something happens to that book, you lose it, you burn it, you get it wet, somebody comes for it, they take it from you, they steal it. Hey, somebody stole an Apocrypha out of Deacon's truck in Walmart. It's been a few years, but it happened. Does that take the word from you? Right? The hearing, the famine is for the hearing. Mother Jennifer, just your thoughts as we kick off.
You know, you talked about one mind striving together, and when I think about women, Sister Ashley, there are so many women who still operate in their own minds, you know, their own ideas, and women refuse to let go of their own thoughts, their own ways. With the word in us, you are forced to actually die to your own self, your own ideas. You know, you're forced to die from your own flesh. And that's a daily thing that actually takes place. But when you refuse to die to yourself or die to your own ideas, you become burdens. You know, you become burdens, and you treat the word as if it is some light thing. You treat the word as if it's some normal thing. And to me, it's a very fearful thing to have the hearing removed, just like it's a fearful thing for strong delusion, you know, to be sent from Yahweh. Those things are very fearful. When I hear that Yahweh will send something, Yahweh will send strong delusion, that is a very fearful thing because we haven't received the love of the truth. There's always a cause and there's always an effect. So when you talk about one mind striving together, we're not on the same page because we don't have his word in us. We won't let go of ourselves. We won't let go of our flesh. We won't let go of our own minds. We won't let go of our own ideas. And that's why we can't have one mind, because there's a bunch of women who just want to be individual. Sister Ashley.
Absolutely. And to have one mind, she says, it's because of the word, right? The word would make us have one mind. But when you think, typically you think of a word, it's going to be written down, typed, or text, right? That's your mind's going to compute word to that format. But how about a conviction that you receive, an unspoken word, right? Just compelling you. Don't do that. Do this. Don't go there. Do that. Don't talk to her that way. Repent. That's how the word maneuvers throughout his body. I'm going somewhere with this, Mother Jennifer, because this right here, this show and this topic, as we progress, is going to set us completely apart from any other people of the world. Because everybody's speaking words. Everybody got books. Everybody got doctrines and theologies, ideas. Everybody, we're humans. But his word, everybody don't got that. There's a famine for it. Proverbs 20 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Most High made them both. He made them both. Deuteronomy 30 says, the word is nigh unto you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you would do it. Why ain't we doing it? Wow, why ain't we doing it? And you say, well, I don't know Matthew 14. I don't know Revelation 16. I don't know Genesis chapter 3. I ain't talking about that. The word is nigh unto you in your mouth and in your heart. Where is it? Where is it? Paul said, hey, what you saying? What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart, that it is the word of faith which we preach. That's what he said. Paul said, that's what we preach. That's what we talk about. We're talking about the word. But you see people that are dull. Man, dull of hearing. Hebrews 5. Of whom we have many things to say. And it's hard to even be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. It's actually difficult to even utter, to explain, to go into detail, to even compute, calculate, formulate, articulate the word. Because you're dull of hearing. And he also said, for when the time was that you ought to be teachers, hey, you got a need for one to teach you again, which is the very first principle of the oracle of Yah, or the word of Yah, will come out of the mouth of Yah, that you will be taught first. Mother Jennifer mentioned dying to the flesh, right? Dying to the flesh. If you don't die to your flesh, you will be dull of hearing. And the word authority is what I want to talk about, okay? Mother Jennifer, just give me as much, you know, sometimes we leave the things of the world behind. You're a mature woman going onward to perfection, so it's hard to even think like the world we've come out of. You can get so clean in your mind just as you can't even relate, but I'm going to use the word authority to you, Mother Jennifer, and tell me what kind of mindset might, you know, if I was to say, define authority to me or for me? Would you think of police? Would you think of government? You know, president? Would you think, what kind of mind with that word authority?
When I think of authority, Sister Ashley, I think of something that has been assigned or given to me from the Most High. You know, something that has been given, and it's not an entitlement. It's not anything that I'm entitled to. It's something that I have received. There's a power that I'm able to walk in because of what He has given me. And it really puts you authority. When you know that you have authority, it puts you in a humble state. You know, sometimes you have people who understand or they think they understand authority, but they get prideful. They get entitled. And that is really the opposite of what authority is. So authority is something that is given to you from the one who has the supreme authority, you know, who is the Most High. And it's given to you to be able to operate in. And because of that, you're grateful and you show your gratitude through your humility and your service so that you can walk properly in that authority. Sister Ashley.
So even in your mature answer, you can tell what you believe is authority. It lines up with the word. So let's take the word out of your experience, Mother Jennifer. Let's take you back to the streets and back to who you might have once been or what is made manifest around us. And tell me what authority would be like or appear like with the opposite mind.
Authority would be someone who would have the ability to assign certain rules. Authority, someone in authority is someone who you would obey. You know, whatever they said, that's what would go. Somebody that was put in a position that is higher than you, and you would be directed to obey that particular person and their rules. Sister Ashley.
Mother Jennifer, you're so pure-minded. Come here, Chef. You are so pure-minded that you literally answered scripturally both times. Like, you ain't got it in you. I gotta go to somebody that's just, come on.
Damn.
Yes, let's see if you can pull up an opposite mind. What you coming in? You brand new. What's authority like? If you had a contrary mind, like that word would just cringe you, right?
Mhm.
Talk to me.
You always gotta tell me what to do, and man, you know, somebody always over me trying to say something, and I'm doing this wrong, I'm doing that wrong. Who you think you are? You just you think you're my boss, and I gotta ask you to use the bathroom? Let me go pee, like. What is the problem? Why I gotta ask for every single thing? What's all these rules?
Tyranny.
Oh my gosh, like correction officers in here and police and everybody watching everything you're doing and this is too much. It's too much. Everybody think they grown and over me and own me.
I'm grown, right? Mm-hmm. I'm grown. Good job. You see, Mother Jennifer, that's funny, right? You're smiling like I ain't got it in me. I couldn't pull it out. But you are correct, because Mother said, authority is the power or the right to give orders, make decisions, and to enforce obedience, you know? Like Pastor said, the bubblegum machine and the police running the streets, you know, and you'll pull over every time. And here come the ambulance, you'll move over. Here come the police, you'll pull over. And you do that without thinking. But when it comes to authority within the body, you really get to who you are. And I want to talk about a different dynamic, and I'm trying to move slow on purpose. So one of my reflections after a conversation with my husband this week was that we are a body of believers that have a man that is the ruling authority over how we hear the word of Yah. Because that man, a pastor, according to the Most High's heart, has the ability to hear and the ability to speak the word with sincerity and truth, the word of Yah can move through the body doing its will. So the fear of Yah comes as a result of the hearing of that word, which is established by the sovereign order of our authority here. You can search far and wide and not find a believing body, Christian, Black Hebrew Israelite, etc., etc. They will not have a man that is the authority over the hearing. When I explain it that way, and that's new to your mind, you're going to go, what do you mean he's the authority over my hearing? Right? What that means is it's by his hearing that he permits and allows his vessel to be yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit of Yah is life, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, all those things can manifest when the Father's created order is manifest. So there's only one authorized interpreter of Scripture. And you might go, one, who is it? Well, it's the author. Who's the author? Who's the author and finisher of our faith, right? And it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit determines your interpretation of every move you make. And that's what I mean by you may or may not have those words written down. You don't got to know all the verses. Why we come into the faith and we lose all confidence of who we are, who we're supposed to be. Why? Because as you're reading the word, the word's reading you. And when the word is reading you, how is that word able to read you? Because it's by your hearing that the word of faith is preached. Like Paul said, the word of faith is what we preach. So everyone who falls in line with that superiority, everyone who's obeying that is being made manifest in the body. And we can see each other. We can see obedient spirits. We can see fruit clearly. But if you are outside of that at all, you are just as clearly read and seen. So Sirach says that the Most High gave the father of the family, as you say, the dad, the father, honor over his children. But he also confirmed the mother's authority over her children and her sons. So the mother has authority. That's a universal, maybe I could say in America, right? The mom's going to tell the child what to do. That's just how the established order has been from creation. So the mother is now in this manifested rebellion in this society. The mother all of a sudden has no confirmed authority. The child don't gotta listen. She out of order. She ain't following. She ain't hearing. Right? Sirach also says that among brethren, he that is chief is honored, and so are they that fear the Most High. So in our way, in our faith, the way we live, the way we function, as we function under authority, those who fear the Most High are honored and esteemed in the kingdom of Yah being made manifest here. So while you're getting caught up on the words, authority, you know, popularity contests, pageants, carnality, all this pride being made manifest, you're seeking your own authority. Women do that. It's really foul. Watch this. The fear of the Most High goes, Sirach 10:21, Chef, if you'll post it, the fear of the Most High goes before the obtaining of authority. The fear of the Most High goes before the obtaining of authority, but roughness and pride is the losing of it. He that uses many words shall be abhorred. And he that takes to himself authority is hated. Paul said, hey, you run around like you need meat and eating meat. You need milk. You need some nourishment. You need a hearing ear and a seeing eye. You need the word of Yah moving through you. Can't even get you to tell me how to repent. Are you saved? Are you baptized? How do you pray? How do you start deliverance? How do you end it? How do you seal someone up? What does that even mean? Cut and sever cords. Of what? What cords? Paul said, these things I speak and I exhort and rebuke with all authority. So let no man despise you. So we have this man that is our authority over the hearing of the word. And then we're accused of exalting his flesh. He's got a big weight on his shoulders, don't he, my sisters?
Yes.
Because, hey, guess what? The greater condemnation falls on him. We're banking on our shepherd and these men to save our souls with the living word. I need some direction or I'm going to go the wrong way. If he justify anything out of his mouth, what are we going to do? We're going to respond, right? We're sheep, right? He going to say, if he say, all right, y'all, masturbation, we can do it. What are we going to do?
Turn up.
Turn up, Chef said. Turn up. Pornography is good. What are we going to do? Yep. Whoredoms, what are we going to do? Yay. Drunkenness. Woo. We're going straight to the world. Straight to the world. But if he comes under the authority that he's been given from heaven, and we're questioning his tone, and we're questioning the administration, and we're questioning the spirit of counsel, and we're questioning the spirit of wisdom, and we're not agreeing with who is ordained, and we're not agreeing with decisions that are made, we're not allowing the Father's spirit to move in us. Brother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, you talked about how the fear of Yah comes as a result of your hearing. And you even said, you know, you don't have to know every single verse. You don't have to have every single thing memorized. But why not start by getting to know what pertains to you at the moment? You know, get to know what pertains to your struggles, your weaknesses. Get to know those things and get those things in your heart. You know, you talked about authority, Sister Ashley, and we know that if when the righteous are in authority, then the people rejoice. But if the wicked are in authority, the people are going to mourn. And this is why, you know, you talked about people giving themselves their own authority by pride or rebellion and really trying to walk in their own authorities that they have not been given. And Yah does things a certain way, because if you're appointing yourself in a position where you have not even been selected for, you have not been told to be in that particular position, you haven't been told to do this or to do that, but you take it upon yourself to do it, then you're putting yourself in the seat or the position or the place of the Most High. Sister Ashley?
There will be countless things that you do not understand. There will be innumerable dynamics of the Ruach and the preaching and the administration of his power that you don't understand. Because you've never known, you've never seen, you've never been taught, and don't let your mind question, doubt, murmur, criticize, judge, slander. Don't let it. Why? Because you're proving that Satan has spiritual authority over you. See, as you mature in the Most High, heaven bears witness, woman or man or not, son or daughter or not, heaven bears witness to the spiritual power and authority a woman has, a man has. You gain authority in the spirit as a woman through falling under direct authority and submission to Yah's ordained order. Your mind and your heart that questions and criticizes and slanders and doesn't understand and puts your mouth where it doesn't need to go and gets in the flesh, you're functioning outside of his, how can I say, umbrella for you, you're going to get wet. You're going to get rained on. So it's best to just stay quiet, not question what you don't understand, and ride the roller coaster. Endure to the end. They questioned Jesus, too. So I'm going to tell it like a story. So Isaiah spoke of the Most High, or spoke of our Messiah, and said that the Spirit of the Most High would rest on him. Okay, we speak of Jesus. He said that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, and that he would, as a man, okay, have the spirit of wisdom, and he would have the spirit of understanding. He would have the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, and the spirit of knowledge, and he would have the fear of the Most High. Wait a second. This is Jesus. Absolutely. He would have the fear of the Most High. And he would also have a very quick understanding in the fear of the Most High, which is only given by the Father. Like Pastor says, scriptural understanding is downloaded from heaven. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, speaking of Jesus, neither would he reprove after the hearing of his ears. Then that means those that are walking according to the Spirit that has been shared with them would also judge not after the sight of their eyes or reprove after the hearing of their ears. Now, because you do that, you can't relate. You really don't understand. And what did John do when he came? John was a baptizer, and he bare record. What did he say? I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove. No bird, no dove came down. It was a descending, a presence, a power, an anointing. What else can you liken it to in the English tongue? What else could you say? It came down like a dove, gentle, powerful. And what did it do, though? Yes, it was on him, but it remained with him. The word says it abode with him. So turn around sometime later, and here goes the Messiah. He's tempted. He's tempted by the Hasatan. What's the main thing he's tempted by? Unbelief. Unbelief. And, no telling what he's hearing. He's being constantly, potentially tormented or tempted by the Hasatan with thoughts, voices. Maybe he saw things. I'm sure he did. Whatever this dynamic was like, he was led by the Holy Spirit to go to be tempted. Wow, we don't understand our Yah. To be led by the Most High to go to the fire, to be burnt, to be purified. We put our mouth on too much. We don't understand. Yah could be purifying and purging someone right in your midst, and you don't understand. You think they're evil. They sin. We don't understand. So I'm going somewhere. So he comes later on, okay? He comes out of this. And he conquers doubt. Though tempted, he conquers doubt. Right? So one thing we cannot doubt is, you know what? Pastor can't be the man of Yah. He got three women. Like, uh-uh. Can't be. See, don't get in the flesh. You don't understand? One's tall, one's short. I don't like that. You don't understand? Nah, don't say nothing. Nah, seal it. Seal it. Wait. Watch. Learn. You love Yah? You believe? You believe in His Spirit? What Yah call you here to do? Destroy you? Nah. So, time goes by. The Messiah comes into the temple. And he's talking, or the chief priests and the elders of the people have come unto him, right? And they say, you know what they said, right? What authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? Basically, who the hell do you think you are speaking the things you're speaking? Because we ain't never heard them. And he definitely ain't that lowly voice. Right? That manger voice that Christianity is painted. But Jesus says, I'm going to ask you something. If you tell me, then I'm going to tell you what authority I'm doing these things. But you got to tell me this. I got a question for you, right? So what about the baptism of John? Where was it from? From heaven or from men? That's interesting, right? Because I just told y'all, what did John say? Now, he baptized the Messiah. He saw the Spirit descend on the Father. We don't know these things. This is fantasy and fairy tale, Mother Jennifer. But guess what? Was it of heaven? Was it of men? He's talking. They say, if we say it's from heaven, he's going to tell us, then why don't you believe me? But if we say it's of men did this thing to you, then he's going to say, you fear the people. Because you know, hey, John is a prophet. So we can't say that Jesus was baptized by just some man. Right? So they're trying to figure this out. How are we going to answer this man? We don't believe a damn thing he's saying. They ain't got the ears to hear. And so they finally come up with it, and they say, Jesus, we don't know. We can't tell. So you know what he says, right? Well, then I ain't going to tell you what authority I do these things in then. I mean, he was wise. He didn't speak according to the hearing of the ear. He didn't judge. He didn't misjudge. So remember, my sisters, authority is learned. It's not automatically known. I'll tell you what made me think of this story today, Mother Jennifer. I'm in the kitchen, and we're all busy doing our own thing. I was prepping for Shabbat barbecue chicken. I was making barbecue chicken. And Caleb came in. You know, Caleb was born here. So Caleb comes in, and he had to get some water for the brothers. They usually fill up these big, large coolers of cooler dispensers of water for the brothers, and they take them to wherever the brothers are going to be working. And he says to his sister that he needed some water, and he said, do I need some Gatorade? And she said, Gatorade? I don't think so. Who told you to get the water? He said, Mom did, you know, because they're brother and sister. And Jesus says, well, if she wanted Gatorade, then she'd have told you Gatorade. And it made me think of the dynamic of the Messiah's speech. Like, you hear her speech, right? As a child, she's saying, don't veer off to the left or the right of what I'm saying. You know, we go get some water. If the person didn't say, get the Gatorade, then don't go get the Gatorade. Why? I know. You know what? And the person said, what's the woman's spirit say? I'm just trying. I just thought you would like Gatorade better because it's sweet and it's sugar and it's cold and it's hydrating. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking that it would be a little bit better. I said, water, honey. You can just see the dynamic play out, right? So authority is learned, my sisters. It's not automatically known. It's completely foreign to you. You're looking around all stiff, like totally straight in your chair, feeling like you're going to mess up because for the first time in your life, oh, shit, I'm surrounded by spiritual authority. Mother Jennifer.
Sister Ashley, you know, you touched on a lot of things, but one thing that really stood out was when you talked about the importance of not speaking about things that you don't understand. You know, you put yourself in a very dangerous seat, a very dangerous position when you start speaking about things that you have no idea what you're talking about or things that you don't understand. You know, you don't understand why things are the way that they are, why certain rules are made, why we do certain things. It's okay to ask questions, but when you go beyond that, and, you know, like one thing that you mentioned, Sister Ashley, women putting their mouth on the man of Yah because he has more than one wife or who his wife is, you know, you really put yourself in such a dangerous, a very, very dangerous position. And you can see what happened in Numbers, you know, when you talk about Miriam and how she put her mouth on the man of Yah because of a woman that Moses married. And so when you think about Miriam and you think about the judgment that took place, you know, it really should put in your heart how we should behave. It's not appropriate to speak on things that you have no idea, that you don't understand. The best thing for you to do is actually quiet yourself, to really be quiet and trust that the Father will give you the understanding if it is required for you to receive it. If not, then you need to be content and move on. And also, you spoke about, you know, the importance of following instructions, you know, the simple instructions that we are given as women, how important it is to follow that. You know, we're told to get water, then we need to get water. We don't need to get Gatorade. We don't need to go around the block and do something completely different than what we're told. It's very important to just follow the simple instructions and not go on our own authority and not make decisions that, you know, that we don't even have to make at all because we complicate things. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And it was a very pure conversation between my Caleb and my Tirza. So I don't want to bring any negative attention on it because it was very, very simple, but it made me think of the dynamic of them questioning Jesus' authority. It's the very same thing. It's like, you know, Tirza came back with a question, which is what we're taught to do. Well, hey, who told you to get the water? They'd have told you Gatorade, you know? And he's like, okay, thanks, out the door with the water, you know? But that dynamic of the Messiah asking a question when asked one has become my, like, one of my chief strategies. Because most of the time in the initial conversation, when someone comes to you, the need is not made known in the initial statement. You know, what that person really needs or the help that they need or the torment they're in or the question they have is not clearly made known in the very first sentence that they articulate to you. So asking a question is a very good dynamic when you're seeking to help somebody. So let's go back to spiritual authority for a moment because obviously a pastor has spiritual authority and obviously there are men and few women that even have spiritual authority, meaning heaven hears them. And those are the people that you should be watching and listening, not questioning their flesh, right? Because it doesn't matter title, flesh color, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone can see through you. What you want to be known for is sincerity. That's it. You might fail, flop, mess up, this, that, whatever. Just be sincere. Just stick it out. Show somebody how to repent. Show somebody how to change. I mean, where's your endurance substance? You know? And Jesus had rebuked a unclean spirit that cried out with a loud voice in Mark 1, and it even said they were all amazed. And they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What doctrine is this? What authority does this man have against unclean spirits that these spirits actually obey him? Do you know how many hundreds, if not thousands, of minds are like that when they come through this assembly? The first thought is, satanic, occultish, witchcraft, right? But Satan can't cast out Satan. The house divided can't stand. We got spiritual power being made manifest, and spirits are obeying. Like, you want to gain some spiritual authority, my sister? Then come under the authority and the order that's preordained here, right? Instead of being afraid, like, it's dark and something jumping out at you, right? Oh, geez, you're like jumping everywhere. Oh, man, what kind of spirit is that? What, you know, all the thousands of questions that come when you realize, there's demons? I didn't know. And so now it's like, I'm afraid of seeing one. Or what if one come out? What if it's showing you your spiritual authority, ain't it? Like, oh, shit, I ain't got none. Let me get some. How do I get it? Oh, by the lack and loss of carnal and fleshly things. Right? Where it says, know no man after the flesh, but according to the spirit. Let your spirit and your flesh be completely different. You know? We can pick each other's flesh apart. And like I said earlier, we could partake in mental popularity contests based on flesh and vainglory all day, but it ain't going to give you no kind of spiritual authority. Ain't going to give you no kind of witness from the Holy Spirit to elevate you away from the things that torment you. So the Comforter, the Helper, which is the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in his name, will teach you all things, my sisters. He will teach you all things. Maybe he'll use the man of Yah. Maybe he won't. Maybe he'll just give you a conviction. Maybe he'll quicken your understanding, light your feet along a path, showing you you're going the wrong way. Whatever dynamic, he is going to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance of whatsoever I've said unto you. So you mean Jesus didn't have a Bible? Uh-uh. Paul? Uh-uh. Right? All these people didn't carry around this book we got? Uh-uh. They carried the law that we have in our hearts. So praise y'all for the book, though, because the Bible recalls the sin of those who wrote it, making it the most rewarding book of truth that we have. What other book exists that's going to call out somebody's sin? Okay, this is how we do it. We're going to write a new Bible, or we're going to write a new record. I'm going to call it a new record. And sisters are going to send in their emails and tell me your sin. And we're going to publish it. And y'all know exactly what would happen, right? We get a few emails. But for the large majority of human nature, it's going to hide some sin. So we got this book that calls it out. And then we have this questioning mind that says, well, I used to have it. It's like, how can this Bible, I used to sit in my apartment complex and be like, some book written by man, really? And we would have these, you know, Bible conversations. I can't remember my mindset then, because if I could, I could just spat off some seeds of doubt right now. So praise God, that's not in me. But at the time when we would just have our, you know, we were in debate classes in college too, so we would just have our dynamics, you know, fun, friendly conversation going at against the word. Blessed be the Most High's name for his forgiveness. But Mother Jennifer, I'll go back to you in just a second. I'm going to end that thought with, how can the men that wrote the Bible be fallible and flawed, and then the Bible be okay, right? Isn't that a question when people come around? We want to question everything. You question pastor, and question his family, and question the Bible, question the word, question. And so, easy, like I said, because the Bible recalls sin. That's number uno. And most importantly, because everything, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yah is not written in it. So we're still functioning. Every day on a community, you are living the word, working the word, laboring the word, right? Subject to be chastised by the word at any given moment. Right, Tammy?
Yes.
She said yes. You got a Bible in your hand when you get chastised, Tammy?
No.
You don't?
No.
Where the book at, Tammy? Is it home?
Yes.
It's on the shelf?
No,
on the, she keeps it on her bed. The book is on her bed when you get corrected. Is that correct? You get corrected by the what? Hearing in your spirit, right?
Yes.
But it's like a voice that doesn't have words, right?
Words.
Okay, that's level and step number one. When you come to the authority of the Most High, his dynamic is to lead and guide you. It's not a bunch of audible, like Pastor said, he ain't doing all that talking.
Right.
You gotta really mature your immediate obedience to his convictions to begin to even be led and hear more. So that's why Pastor can say, you've been here 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Oh, yeah, there's a lot required of you, all right. I'm probably 15 right now. I got a lot required. That means when I hear, I better immediately listen, right? Like when I bought something the other day that I thought was unclean, and then I get it home anyway, and I'm putting away groceries, and I'm like, shit, I know this is unclean. Like, I just feel it. I just feel it. Thank you, Father. Straight to the trash. But the pastor say, hey, I'm driving down the road. Don't go this way. Why not go that way? I don't know. Do bass music. Boom, 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 boom. Shh. Traffic. Ah. Sitting in traffic. Right? Well, that's the hearing of his voice. Mother Jennifer, talk to me.
And you know, Sister Ashley, there are times when you can receive the conviction, or you can sense that the Holy Spirit is giving you a knowing or speaking to you in a way where it's bringing conviction. And if you continually ignore that over and over and over and over and over again, then that's how your ears are going to become dull to his voice. But, you know, like Sister Ashley said, you know, she brought something home and she recognized that it was unclean and took action and actually threw it away. So those are the things that we have to do when we know that he's speaking to us or that he's bringing conviction. We have to act on it. And even, you know, you'll find sometimes that when you pick up the word, and I know everybody has experienced this, you pick up the word and you're reading something that you know pertains to you and is so, I mean, that conviction is coming on so heavy, and you put the Bible down, you sit the Bible down for 2 minutes so that you can really get your heart right to receive what you're reading. And once you receive it, then you can go in full repentance and turn away from that. And that is what the word is meant to do. The word is not there to, you know, have you read it and then you beat yourself up and you put the word down and you never, ever go back to it. That's not what it's for. It's actually to convict you so that you change and you don't walk in that way again. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them even now. So we have to understand that. Like, can we just humble ourselves and say, I'm trying to take in and understand what's even being preached over here, much less, you know, all the misunderstandings is what's bringing you torment. It's like, can you just lay all that aside? Can you just say, I believe that you led me here. I believe you will finish what you started. I believe you are molding what you have broken. Hallelujah. Despite all she looking, she saying, she staring, she did, she did. Yeah, she a thorn in your flesh, like Satan said. He sends his messengers. Okay. The Holy Spirit going to tell you, do not associate with her. I'm going to do it anyway because, you know, that's my girl. Okay. How many times he going to say it? You mean the Holy Spirit going to lead you in your relationships? Absolutely. He going to lead your husband about your relationships too. I talked to a sound brother with my husband. And he was asking a request of me for his beautiful wife. And the only thing I could tell him was, please guard her relationships from these women. Please guard her relationships from these women, because you will try to build a strong fortress in her, and all the while, somebody's tearing it down behind you, tearing down every brick you lay. That's how Satan come at your wife. They're weak. You got to strengthen her and strengthen her relationships and train her how to sever ungodly soul ties, saint or ain't. And so, back to Jesus. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Can't guide you into all truth if there ain't a lie. Can't guide you to the straight path if there isn't a crooked one. Can't guide you to a righteous woman if there isn't a ungodly one. Right? So this should not be a surprise to hear. He's going to guide you into all truth. It even says, Jesus said in John 16, he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that he will speak. Wow, he's speaking what he's hearing. That's the word. If Jesus didn't have the Bible, he's speaking the word. He's hearing. And he will show you things to come. That's the dynamic of the Messiah, right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word, Jesus said, you hear my word. Remember, don't think of a text. Don't think of cursive. Don't think of paper. The word, look at it like the air particles in your room right now. Don't tell me the word, Mother Jennifer, isn't alive. Because why do we have to repent for the words of death we spoke? When the words go out of us, they're living. So he says, he that hears my word and believes on him that sends me has everlasting life. And I say unto you, the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of the Most High, and they shall hear and live. Like, when you was awakened, it wasn't by no verse, right? Quickened in your mind to hear what the Father is leading you to the man that he's leading you to, that so many are so easily turning away, right? If you come to this assembly knowing that the Spirit of Yah is moving and he's inside our shepherd, and you trust that, you won't fall. If you come hearing a nice sounding brass and a guitar and a pumped up masculine man that you desire to listen to because he reminds you of your father or the man beside you in the military or, right? You come for a man, you'll fall and be slain like man. I came by the Spirit of Yah. I ain't going nowhere. What about you, Goshen? Hallelujah. You come by the Spirit of Yah. You see the Spirit of Yah in Pastor Dow. You bear witness. Your spirit bear witness. I'm going. I'm going where you go. You fall, I fall. I fall with you. Where's that honor, Mother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, you know, I saw it from day one that Pastor Dow was the man of Yah. And, you know, a lot of times when I counsel women, I find that women just don't have their minds made up, because they're easily swayed by situations, by things that happen, by trials that they haven't overcome. And they just don't have a made-up mind. And I find that a lot of times, you know, these issues can be resolved if you just have your mind made up. This is the man of Yah, and I know Yah has called me here, and I'm not going anywhere, period. And sometimes you have to tell yourself, you know, I'm not going anywhere. My mind is made up. And there's so many who actually don't have their minds made up. Sister Ashley.
So many don't have their minds made up. And see, we're not worried about the accusations of following one man or, you know, tyrannical rule of one man or the misunderstandings of how we function, because it was already spoken. And it was already the living word that existed that we would have one mind, you know, and we would have one mind. We should all get to the place where we don't mind at any given hour or time, a day or night, that we can receive instruction and do it for somebody. Some things we just should have already put away from us. We have a very, very short window of time to hide. So many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard what Jesus said, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Repeat. "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Amanda, how long you been following?
Almost a year.
Almost a year. 1 year saint. Hallelujah. With her name written down in Lamb's Book of Life. Amanda, you ever heard something that you was like, huh?
Ever heard something here?
Yeah. Yeah.
In the beginning, yeah.
Many, huh? Right? You just waited, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just let it all make sense, right?
I'll follow.
Yep. She says, "I will follow." So the disciples said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, and he said to them, "Does this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up?" What if? Because it's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Why do they tune into the show? It's life, right? Why do they tune into any part of what we produce? It's life. You can tear down our flesh. Oh, my God. You can tear down our families, the stupidity, the food. You know, what in the hell are the Bell children wearing? Right? Holes in their pants, whatever. You can come at that. That was some of the nonsense that communities have to put up with. Like, wow, well, he's just a son. He's just playing in the dirt. Like, we ain't going nowhere. But man, Satan will use anything to offend. But Jesus even said, there are some of you that don't believe. He's talking straight to his disciples. Right, for Jesus knew from the beginning who believed and who would betray him. And he also said, Hey, I'm saying unto you that no man can come unto me unless he's given by the Father. So don't let any of this riffraff surprise you. It's there to teach you. There's tools of other nations amongst us to perfect us. Absolutely. He's trying to get us to the kingdom. Thank you for every tool. And when he's done with a tool, he's not going to use it to sharpen no more. I've seen it so many times, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. We have seen it so many times. And, you know, when you see it happen, you know, we're talking about when he's done using an individual, because the individual has refused to be sharpened. You know, they want to remain dull. And when he's finished, what you have to do is not have a prideful mindset about it, you know, by saying something like, I knew she would fall. I knew she wouldn't hang in there. You can't have that mindset. You have to consider yourself because you don't want to fall into that same category. So it really should humble you when you see that happen. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. So I'll start wrapping up some of my thoughts so we can get on to the reason why I even went this way. We have some great emails to read. We're going to switch it up on y'all. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of the Father ever. They're foolishness to him. He doesn't know them because the things of Yah are spiritually discerned. The word of Yah is spiritually discerned. And he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So if you hear what you would call the boasting or the arrogance of any of our men who are in a spiritual authoritative place over us, they really are speaking from that spiritual authority. Right? Because remember what Paul told him, hey, rebuke in all authority. Don't hold back, you know, because he knows the fruit that will come. We don't get caught up. I've shared with women before. Don't even, okay, so you get rebuked by your husband, right? I mean, he lays it to you. The woman's mind is very articulate, so it'll break down every word. Research this, think that, am I this, am I that, do, and start to really compute this whole thing. Wait a second. You're getting far from the purpose. The purpose was to receive correction and to humble yourself to authority. If you maintain strength in that position, you'll never get caught up in the rejection of words. Right? So if the dynamic of your husband correcting you, you messed up, you did this, you did that, and you don't got to justify yourself. You don't got to spat off all the things that happened in your mind or the reason why. So you don't have to receive correction under the spiritual authority of your husband without dissecting all the words. Don't hold the record of wrongs of all the things that are spewed out. Okay, well, he said, oh, this and this and this. I need to, man, and your head just, you know, for the next day, 2 days, 2 months, 3 years even. That's how the woman's mind will just start to rack his brain, and it will receive so much rejection from the meditations of that communication in your mind, and you'll miss the purpose. And I'm speaking to those women who have strong men, Hebrew men, that are leading them and correcting them and guiding them. I speak not to, or no, I don't have any experience to any abusive or neglecting men. I don't. Yes, they exist. We don't capitalize on that circumstance. Mother Jennifer?
And one thing about a man, a true Hebrew man, is he's going to speak exactly what he needs to say to correct your behavior, to get you back on the right path. And that's why you don't need to look into it any further than what the things that he has said. You don't need to allow the devil to come in and have a field day with your mind. You know, receive what's being said and move forward. Like Elder Rufus always says, you know, we got work to do. Receive the correction, we got work to do, and let's move forward. But it really takes... It takes a mature mind to really get to that state and understand and know that, you know, there's love behind this. This is not hate. I don't need to go into self-hate. I don't need to go into self-rejection. I don't need to dissect all this and think that he has said something that he has not said. No, this is what he said, and this is what he means, and so we just need to receive it and move forward. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. There's a lot that might not be understood, you know. If you're humble enough to admit that, there's a lot of, you know, you understand this in part, but not that, et cetera. There's a lot of that that's going to come as you're learning in the Father. And if you just reflect on the Father's promises for you, you won't capitalize on your lack of understanding, because the enemy will come strategically to try to belittle you, right, taking away the spiritual authority that you have, which is through Christ Jesus, through the blood, by the covenant, because you're an heir to the throne. You know, you do have spiritual authority, and he'll try to take it, right? But if you hold on to the provisions that the Father has promised us, that according to his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain unto life. All things. You're giving me all things. Like, I feel like I'm lacking, right? I'm missing a lot of things down here. No. According to his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him. Through the mere knowledge of him, the existence of him, the admittance of him. Like, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge what you're doing is far past what I could even comprehend. Yielding to him. So whereby that we are given exceedingly great and precious promises that we would be partakers of a divine nature. And that divine nature is what you're yearning for, right? Amanda, right?
Amen.
Tammy, hallelujah. Chef,
hallelujah.
Yes. But we're all partakers of his precious promises. And give all diligence. Mother's read it on the show. Mother Jennifer's read it on the show before. Add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge. Add to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. Add to patience godliness. Add to godliness brotherly kindness. Add to that charity. For if these things be in you, and they abound in you, you'll never be unfruitful. Hallelujah. It's just one step at a time. It's one fight at a time. It's one understanding at a time. There's never a time that your conscience is not quickened to a new understanding. That's a dynamic of, I will teach you all things, like he says. You know, that's something that you and him have together. So, guess what? The dynamic of the Spirit of Yah, and what got my meditations even going for this show, the dynamic of the Spirit of Yah does something very different, obviously, in this ministry than other places. And that spirit of Yah, that communication of Yah, his word that goes out and says, come out of her, get your emails ready, Jennifer, that put out a call to his people and gathered us. And by even us reading these emails, right, we're going to read basically the occupations of women amongst us, what they used to do, their experiences in the world and their occupations, their professional, they got paid for it, you know, the jobs they worked. We're going to read some of that dynamic so that you know who's listening, so you can see who's changed. And there's nowhere in the word that says, thou shall homeschool, period. Thou shall whatever. The list goes on. Whatever it is you're looking for the word. If it don't say it, remember, his word is living, and there's more than just the pages. So I'm going to show you what his word told a bunch of Hebrew Israelite women to do. And Mother Jennifer, you go right ahead and read these emails back to back in your own method, in your own style. I will not interrupt, hopefully. Wink, wink. Please go ahead.
Hallelujah. First letter says, I used to be an operations supervisor and analyst. Now I'm learning how to be a submitted wife, a stay-at-home mom, a servant to Israel, and a true daughter of Yah. I praise the Father every day for the new life he has given me and thank my master for leading his household righteously. Next letter, I used to be in banking and I sang with a performing choir. Now I am a stay-at-home mom, living on a community. Next letter. I'm now a part-time health insurance billing analyst working from home and homeschooling my master's boys. Next letter. I was an office manager in the world. Now I wear many hats on the homestead, including homeschooling, planting the garden, homestead seamstress, and food storage. Next one. I used to be a white-collar employee in corporate America for 26 years, holding customer service and administrative assistant positions. I'm now blessed to be a part of a home fellowship, learning as a single-age woman how to humbly submit with a meek and quiet spirit in order to serve as a righteous role model according to the instructions listed in Titus 2. Next letter. My previous occupation, I used to be a practical nurse providing care to elderly patients in their homes, including monitoring their health, treating wounds, performing tests, and administering medication, and also providing basic nursing care. I'm now a stay-at-home mom, homeschooling three children between ages 6 and 11. Next letter. In the world, I was a registered respiratory therapist, worked with infants all the way up to the elderly. In the truth, I'm a stay-at-home mom wearing many hats on the homestead as well. It's been a beautiful transition. Next letter. It says, I used to work in the medical field as a certified medical assistant. After coming into the faith and my master listening to our shepherd, I was blessed to come out of her in 2019 before the hospital's yearly mandatory flu vaccination and before this coronavirus fiasco. I am now a homeschool teacher to my master's children, farmer, and Yah has blessed the works of my hands as a gardener. Thank the Father and thank our shepherd. Next letter. When I was in the world, I used to be a manager at a grocery store, a waitress at several restaurants, in-home hospice care assistant, always was in customer service. Now, I'm a happy stay-at-home wife, mom, worshiper, teacher, doctor, sister, servant, gardener, prepper, secretary, counselor, song and book writer, and my master's baby-making machine is what she says. Next letter. In my previous occupation, I was a phlebotomist and pathology assistant for a private and government practices. I'm now a stay-at-home mom, homeschooling three of my master's youngest daughters. We are also homesteading. Next letter. I used to be an ICU, CNA, floor phlebotomist, and an EKG technician. I am now a stay-at-home mom and able to use what I've acquired from the world to benefit the family of Yah. I gave up what I thought I loved most for the opportunity to raise my master's children, now spending most of our days on a community with the family I never had, caring for his people I love most. I have truly been rewarded 100-fold. Next letter. Shalom and blessings. I used to be a cook for Head Start. Now I'm a stay-at-home mom. Next letter. I used to work as a bus aide and a health care aide for children up to 35 years. Now I'm retired and I choose to be a stay-at-home wife. Next letter, caregiver for the elderly, and now I'm a stay-at-home mom. Next letter, my last occupation before becoming a mother was a car loan processor. I am now a proud stay-at-home mom to my master's three children. Thank you, Yah, for freeing me and placing me in my true role. I am now the most fulfilled than I have ever on any job. And I think we got one more that came in, Sister Ashley. I'm going to go ahead and read this one. It says, I was a cosmetologist for 17 years. I then went to school to pick up other trades, such as medical assisting. I am now a wife, mother, sister, and so much more, continuously growing and changing, only because Yah has allowed me to grow in grace and in knowledge. He has placed me among righteous women where I can learn and grow. That's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I'm going to read an email that I asked for. And if you don't mind just scanning through the inbox, making sure you got them all. Mother Jennifer, I'm going to read this. It says, I moved to Kentucky with my husband last year in September. My family thought I was stupid. They said they support me, but that I should still go to school or work. Sometimes what they said got to me. And my husband noticed, and he told me to disconnect all communication with them. This was the start of my trials and tribulations. I did not want to give up the family that I loved so much. I cried, and I manifested. I had just came out of the world, and I thought that my husband was being unfair and was asking too much out of me already. All he said was, whoever puts family before Yah is unworthy for the kingdom. However, I wasn't listening to that. It took 3 months to break soul ties and get over them. My sister Tanasa, go ahead and get in the caller queue, my sister. Hallelujah. We're going to end the show with you. This is an email that I specifically asked for because it's someone that I helped along the way. She says, my biggest trial was taking correction from my husband. I was able to take correction from sisters because I liked how they spoke to me, but I thought my husband spoke very harshly, and now I know he was just being a man. I remember him telling me, I'll never sound like a sister. Another reason why taking rebukes was so hard was because I was masculine, prideful, disrespectful, and had what my husband calls a black girl attitude. That's a show. Over time, this caused my husband to become bitter towards me. Seriously, I was weak. It's hard to admit, but I wasn't completely committed to the Father. During Tabernacles, I got deliverance from rejection, but I wish I knew how to walk it out because the Spirit came back stronger. I also tried catching the Holy Spirit. She says catching. Where does that come from again, catching? What experience do you have, my sister, who wrote me this email, catching? It comes from somewhere. I can't remember, but she's heard that term before. Getting, we say. Hey, he descends gently like a dove. You don't catch him with a net, right? Hallelujah. I also tried catching the Holy Spirit during morning prayer, hoping that when I got his spirit, all my problems would disappear. However, I didn't receive it. I was devastated. I was embarrassed. But my sisters gave me so much love. Sister Jasmine has the best hug. Sister Gabby had the right words to encourage me to keep trying, and I did because I truly thought my problems would go away. By December, my marriage was falling apart because I wouldn't submit. I was getting better, but it wasn't good enough. I wasn't getting a lot of deliverance and still didn't have the Holy Spirit. I would ask women, married women, for advice. I'll take their advice for a week or two. Then the old woman came back in. She's meaning her flesh would act out. That caused me to almost be put away. I was hurt. But my pride wouldn't let my husband know that. I tried to make myself feel better by saying, I'm staying in the faith and I'll just be independent again like I was before the faith. I remember telling Sister Ashley, and she told me, you need to keep running for the Father and you need to know that you're leaving his people because you didn't show that you wanted to be here. And she was right. And the same day my husband called my mother to come and get me as soon as possible. When my husband left for work, I was on my knees pleading with Yah, telling him I would change, that I just needed some time. He answered my prayer because my husband showed me great mercy. The next week, I got deliverance. I got the Holy Spirit. I felt at peace. I thought now my problems would go away, and I saw how happy my husband was. This is all he ever wanted from me since the beginning till this day. I don't think I've ever seen him this joyful. In January, Sister Ashley rebuked me one more time. She said, you dishonor, you argue, and you love your family more, and your ways are embarrassing to your husband. And that's when the change happened. I was getting way better, at least to the point where my husband noticed that I was trying to get better. And afterwards, we got counseling. I got deliverance, prayed more, and I started getting more in my role. But I really changed when I made my husband cry because I started going back to old ways. Seeing him vulnerable made me feel horrible about myself, how I never wanted to see him hurt like that again. I got deliverance from rebellion, and when I say I did a complete 360, I did a complete 360. I can now say my husband and I are in a good space. He's happy to dwell with me. I truly thank the Father and my husband for being so long-suffering and patient with me. And to all the sisters who encourage me to keep striving, without the love of the Father, I would not be here. Glory to the King. Sound off, Chef. everyone sees what the word is doing. The word. What the word is doing. Mother Jennifer, any more emails?
Yes, I got one more. It says, I used to be an operational analyst, and now I am a stay-at-home mom of three. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, we're going to the phone lines. You know what we got? We have a lot of things. You hear all that? A cosmetologist, a bunch of phlebotomists. That sounds like you would dive deep into the sea, you know? I'm being funny. I'm like, wow, this is some interesting title. But you know what we have? A sister that, and these are women, mind you. This is a sister-to-sister show, right? This is what it's about. This is me to you, you to me. You know, we're talking, we're sharing the dynamic. We got a past that we want no part of, and we gain strength from one another. So my sister, I'm going to pull her up here. Maybe I should let you say what you, no, I like to say it. I like to say it. Because I reached her like, what was it again that you said? She was, she co-owned an open mic called H2O. She was a spoken word artist. So I asked her to do a little something for us tonight. Bless you, Sister Tanasa.
Bless you, Sister Ashley. Bless you, Mother Jennifer and all the sisters there at Straightway. Love y'all.
Love you.
Hallelujah. She was a substance abuse counselor and a counselor for DD and SED children. Can you say what that means, DD and SED children?
Yes. SED children are severely emotionally disturbed children that have been severely abused physically, mentally, and emotionally. And DD children are children that are dual diagnosed with multiple psychiatric issues.
Hallelujah. And you are a community activist. So now what do you do?
Now I serve my master, my community, and homeschool our children.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Bless him. Thank you for the call. Give us what you got. I actually asked three sisters, her being one of them, to write some poetry about this show. And so I don't know what Tanasa's done with it yet. What did you do? Tell me what you did.
Well, I have two pieces from two sisters, and I really prayed to the Father that he would guide me and direct me in speaking our sisters' heart and the pieces and their love that they have for them. And then I just had to, he blessed me to pour out something that was from my heart to let you all know what you all mean to me and have done for me and my master's household.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much for your time. Listen, I'm about to give you the mic, literally the open mic, so I'm not going to interrupt you. If you want to read three separate ones, if you want to talk in between, you want to introduce them at all, like you just said, you prayed, and may the Most High guide your lips. I'm going to enjoy it. And after you're finished, Mother Jennifer, can we end after her her flowetry?
Absolutely.
All right. We will end the show after we hear this beautiful outro, if I can call it that. Sister Nasa, thank you so much. You got the mic.
Hallelujah. Bless you. So this first piece is by a sister, and it really was profound. And so I'm just going to share her heart and what the show means to her. This show is a true blessing for me. Nothing but submission comes from the broadcast. The world teaches submission is a form of oppression. I believe the love I receive in Straightway is real, and there is freedom in following direction. Everything spoken here has all been true. His opening in me of understanding has shown me his will and way. Yah has all the glory for what sharpens me to perfection. The reason in my body and soul having continual death, deliverance, and his word, hearing the correction. The higher level, I trust in him to renew eternally, saved in a wicked matrix world of misconception. Much is to be desired as well as out of me indeed, speaking what not as if it was the ascension. As I wait, I've learned from the show and Ashley alone how a vessel of a daughter of Zion in this realm should be and think. No pedestal, just pure affection. There is a peace in obedience, serving, and prayer. I know nothing and need continual shedding as I go. In time, order, and spirit, I'm just grateful to believe and be able to repent, learning from my sister through this show. Contentment and an awareness to nothing new, because what's coming is already done, keeps me quiet and low in the restoration as a sheep not willing to run. There is hope working out salvation in the separation, the mind given to us by the one who sent us in form of clay. No coincidence, but a connection. I am no longer mine. Thank you, Ashley. Thank you, mothers, our leaders, and our brothers. Glory to the King, our Redeemer. Love, Selena. Hallelujah. That was the first piece by our beloved sister, Selena. That gives me chills. Hallelujah. Bless you, sis. Sister to Sister, a broadcast every week, a show committed for you and me, for every woman seeking to strengthen what is weak, powered by the Most High Yah, supported by a loving shepherd, and lifted up by unwavering men and women. Sister to Sister, a show hosted by two, and where two or more are gathered together. Go ahead, sisters. Type the rest in the chat room. This is a show that allows you to be open and vulnerable, knowing that we all have things to improve on, somewhere to laugh and shed a tear, confess and repent, but the show must go on to a higher level of holiness, on to the road of righteousness, as we are about our Father's business. Sister to Sister, a haven, a safe place to come and get support, to hear nothing but the truth. Honor the Most High Yah in spirit and in truth. Strengthening the spirit man, dying to the flesh, forsaking all, striving to pass every test. Well done, my good and faithful servant, is all we want to hear. Sister to Sister, the best show, nothing can compare. Sister to Sister, strive, crown, for the King, our King, is near. Hallelujah. That sister didn't have her name, but that brought joy. I hope it brings you sister's joy. Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, when you asked me to write this piece, I had to just think about the blessings of what Sister to Sister has been to me when I first heard the first Sister to Sister, and how it just completely. There was so much courage. There was so much boldness. There was just so much truth. And I felt like I made it home amongst my people. So here it is. This is a man's world, built on the solid rock by the one mighty Elohim who spoke it into existence and caused it to be. Without me, born in sin and shaped in iniquity, from the beginning of my first breath, identity, purpose was stolen from me. born into a reality where Satan's fallacies are perpetually promoted as truth. Anything he can do, you can do better. A lie in every letter, a bound and a fetter, a murky view presented to me for me to see myself through. But then the siren would sound from the voice of a man by a man who heard from this man who was after Yah's own heart, calling for the set apart. But where do I, a woman, start? Walking in this way, I heard through the airwaves from sister to sister, you are not the head but the rib. Submit, woman, you ain't shit. That arrow hit my heart from our beloved sister Ashley's lips as she repeated our beloved shepherd's admonition from women's submission. I had to listen. This is what I've been missing. Instructions on how to live the book off the pages, free from ages of disobedient Jezebel pants-wearing women in my bloodline, misrepresenting Yah's reasons for my very existence. Tears flowed, admittance and repentance broke through the enclave of a heart and heart. How do I start? How do I be this helpmeet that I was created to be and not just act the part? Every fifth day pumps blood through to a new softened heart that's able to serve my king, the priest, and the head of me with everything that I got. As mother's wisdom teach what ought and what ought not to be done, putting every haughty, prideful, self-serving spirit on the run. As order is put in place, as I continue to run this race that's been placed before me, so thankful for those that have gone before me to teach and show me how to be free in all that Yahweh created me to be. I love my sister, my sister. I love my sister to sister. Blessings.
Hi.
Mentality.